Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, family. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About It All. I'm your man, Shadi. I'd like to thank everyone who's on the line. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here with us, and for that, we're grateful. Today, I want to start with, you know, a little talk about maybe some explanation of why I'm the way I am with when I talk about us doing things together and, you know, what motivates me to want to change that I ultimately be pushing everyone to get into, you know, to take part in. It starts from my decision of wanting to be an entrepreneur, because I grew up seeing people that look like me own businesses. And then all of a sudden that changed. However, I always wanted to, you know, work for myself. And I chose a life of drug dealing. I chose that life, you know, based on, at the time, the way the jobs were paying. You know, the jobs were paying little to nothing. You could get a job, you know, paying $2.75, $3. And, you know, then it increased. You know, thankfully, I landed a job at Nabisco that started me off with $11 an hour. That helped me to be able to make the transition to get away from that type of lifestyle. However, before I even went into that lifestyle, I set my own ground rules. I set the ground rules that I wouldn't sell to pregnant women. I wouldn't sell to young children. And I wouldn't be willing to hurt or kill anyone over money that, you know, that was a part of that lifestyle, which ultimately served me well. So when you hear me speaking up for individuals who are out there on them corners, I was able to make a change. So I believe that other individuals can make that same change. So that's the motivation behind me being the type of individual I am, believing in change, believing in a possibility of refinement, refining yourself. Because I didn't realize at the time when I was out there that I was really doing more detriment to my community than it was being helpful. And unfortunately, it took the crack epidemic to really wake me up when I saw that the devastation behind what crack was doing to our community. And on top of that, it wasn't like now with the epidemic of the opioids where they were, you know, where they are now providing treatment and, you know, giving it a name of substance abuse or substance disorder. It was just a criminality. It was just, you were a criminal. Whether you were smoking or selling, you were still considered a criminal. And so if you add people who became crack addicted, add that to the individuals who had to live around these individuals. What happened with a person who become addicted to crack, you couldn't leave anything around them. They couldn't be trusted because their main objective each and every day from sun up to sundown was to get high. That was their objective, to do whatever it takes to get that next hit. Now, this affects people whether you were a smoker or not. You know, the effect of you living in the household with a person who was addicted on crack, it was devastating, especially if that person was supposed to be the breadwinner. you speed it up to a fact that, okay, you have a person who's supposed to take care of the children, you know, take care of the household. Now their whole objective become their next fix. That means the children don't eat. That means the bills don't get paid. That means whatever they do, especially whether it's man or woman, man going out and steal and women selling their bodies in front of their children to get the next fix. And this was an ongoing process for, I would say, a decade or more. Now you have children that was born out of this chaos, and they watched their parent or parents go through this turmoil of being addicted to a drug that, my personal opinion, was put in the community to do just what it did, to uproot the community, to even disenfranchise the community more so than it was already. It's weird to me because it came during a time where many of us that were on the streets, even though we sold drugs, we were still kind of Afrocentric. We, you know, there were MCs that, you know, there's a song that, you know, Black Medallion, No Gold. So we were not materialistic at that time. You know, we were more striving to unify and come together and be a village, be a community, be there for each other. And that crack epidemic came in like a tornado or a hurricane and just uprooted plenty of communities. Because as I said, the people that weren't even indulging in the crack or the selling of crack still suffer, because grandparents had to take on the responsibility of taking care of their children, because the parents were in no condition to do what they needed to do for the children. This epidemic, we are still striving to recover from today. There are people who are still in prison behind the crack epidemic, still there, haven't come home. There are people who still, you know, indulging in that type of lifestyle from that period of time. Now they may mix it with the opioids. Then the whole streets mentality shifted, because those who were in power, or should I say, structuring the streets, either they got locked up, either they became addicts themselves, or they left it alone, more so like me, to just leave the lifestyle and try to get away from the street, period. Now, it left a void in the street where there was no more guidance, where at the time when I was out there and prior to me coming out there, there was like regulation, there was street codes. There were certain things you didn't do on your block. There were certain things that you didn't involve people who weren't living that type of lifestyle in. All of that changed during this time. So for me personally, because to some degree I've always had a conscience and then conscience of wanting to do better and conscience of wanting us to be more united as a people. And as I said on many occasions, this is not about excluding any other people. It's not about that. It's about being inclusive to the people that I'm a part of, the people that look like me, that I see suffer more than other people in this country. So that's what motivates me to do these shows. That's what motivates me to do the other YouTube podcast called Peep Game. The motivation is to rectify as much as I'm capable of what I and many others allowed to happen, because we got caught up in that whirlwind of selling crack, seeing money come in a manner that, you know, none of us could have even conceived money coming so fast that you can make $1,000 in 5 minutes. That's how fast money was coming. That's how effective that drug was for a lot of people. That once a person took a hit, it was almost like instant addiction. And, you know, we suffered as a people. I suffered because I see the results. Fortunately, I was able to turn my life around, but I still paid a price. I lost two people that were close to me during that time, two people that were very close to me in that lifestyle. Being a part of that lifestyle, they were taken away because of that lifestyle. And there was, at the time, nothing I could do to prevent it because I was in it. So if I can do anything to prevent that from happening to any other individual or anybody else's children, I'm going to do it. So I'm committed and dedicated to doing whatever I can to make the necessary changes within myself, my family, my community, this country, and ultimately the world. That's my dedication, that to be able to do that, to be able to make a difference in someone's life in a positive way, not in a negative way. It's tough because many of us, you know, never dealt with drugs. There's a lot of us who have no idea what drugs are about, except for seeing people that we were close to using them. And, you know, so the secondhand part of it. So you had the idea from that point of view. So there's a lot of people that look at drug dealers as some of the worst people. And I beg to differ, because I sold drugs, it didn't make me hate. I didn't sell it out of hate. I didn't sell it out of greed. I sold it because when I started, I was so young, it seemed like a good way to make money and be able to make a transition to something better. it ultimately turned out to be a stepping stone to keep me afloat until I really figured out what it is that, you know, I wanted to do or what I was capable of doing. And now when I say capable, I have to kind of retract that, because there was something that I was really good at and better than the average person, and that was boxing. But the lifestyle consumed me so much so to the point that I wasn't able to dedicate the time that I needed. And I was so entrenched into the street life, I didn't have enough willpower to turn away from the street life to dedicate myself to train and do what I need to do to become successful at the boxing, to make it a career. I didn't, you know, so that's something that occurred in my life. And trust you when I say this. I mean, trust me when I say this, that there are many individuals who are on those streets who have tremendous capabilities in other areas other than on them streets, but for some reason or another, they get caught in them streets and that potential go to waste. So I'm urging everyone who is listening to me on this line to take what I'm saying seriously, serious enough to where we come up with something that we can start putting some funds together to build some type of institutions so that we can save these individuals who want to be saved. I've come to the realization that we won't be able to save everybody, and nor do everybody want to be saved. I accept that. However, what I don't accept is those of us who have the means, who have the mindset, who has the willpower, who have the tenacity to hang in there, to get this lifestyle to become minimized by providing other opportunities for young people so that they be less likely to turn to the streets. We can do that. Personally, I think we waste a lot of time, and this is my own personal opinion, that we waste a lot of time fighting against a system that has no intention on changing, and when it does change, it's such a slow process that so much damage has been done till now we not only got to fight for what we were fighting for before, we got to fight for something new now. So if we take some of that energy and start coming together and organizing and putting structures or putting an agenda together, then I believe we can combat a lot of things that are happening and nip a lot of it in the bud. You know, we can actually start being more proactive than reactive. So, with that being said, we're going to take a break now, unless we have a caller that wants to chime in, want to ask some questions. But there'd be, if so, you could chime in. Press 1 to chime in. to add to the conversation? If not, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and resume where we at. And this next song, I want to dedicate it to my wife. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Let's Talk About It All. I normally don't, you know, do too much talking about me, and, you know, that's just not something that I really care to do, but today, you know, I wanted to do something a little different and talk about me so that people can have some idea of what drives me to do what I do and to speak the way I speak. Now, I left off, you know, speaking about the lifestyle that I live and, you know, getting a job that paid a certain amount of money that was pivotal in helping me make the transition. The other pivotal point, or should I say pivotal person, that helped me change is my wife. My wife, you know, for lack of a better, better term, she was like, you know, a good girl. You know, she wasn't into the street. She wasn't one of those who hang out and had a lot of friends. And that attracted me to her because I wanted to get away from the lifestyle that I was living. And I knew that if I got a woman that was still into that same type of lifestyle, it would be difficult, almost impossible to get away from it. So, you know, she and I met, you know, shortly after we had my son. And my son, that was another motivating factor. Having a son, being responsible for another human being. Now, you know, prior to that, I had a daughter, but that's a whole nother story that I go into some other time. But what I'm saying now is I met my wife at a young age. You know, I was 20 years old. So at 20, most of us don't even, especially as young men, we don't even know who we are at that time. And it takes many of us well into our 30s and 40s to really start getting what it is to be a man, especially if you don't have positive male role models to emulate. I didn't have a lot of positive male role models in the sense of how to treat a woman, that type of thing. So you may hear me talk about, you know, cheating in a manner and where I uplifted or I make it seem like it's a small thing and many people look at it as one of the most terrible things. Okay, that's where you got, you know, with being a drug dealer. That's another thing that people look at as a heinous type of thing. So my perspective is different than many other people when it comes to those two things. I personally, you know, love my wife enough, and I believe that love is powerful enough to help you change things, even if it's something that you don't see a problem with. Because it becomes a problem, just because it becomes a problem to someone you love, and if you love them that much, then you will be willing to make the necessary change so that you don't cause them pain. That's what, for me, that's what true love is. You know, to be able to not be selfish and think about what's pleasurable or what's good for only you. When you get to a point where you want to do what's good for someone else. And many of us learn that with our children. We don't, a lot of us don't get it with our mates or spouses. We learn how to develop that unselfishness when it comes to taking care of our children. And some of us don't. Some of us remain selfish throughout the whole thing. Some people are just playing out selfish and it's all about them no matter what. But, you know, God bless him and God guide him. So when you hear me speak, just know that the things that I speak on are my point of view and it's my perspective. And for me, perspective is key to how you internalize anything that you go through. Because if you, for example, if you go through a situation or someone does something to you and what they do to you is not intentional, they don't do it to harm you, nevertheless, you're in pain. You're in pain. So it's and everyone is entitled to their feelings and everyone is entitled to express how they feel. So you're in pain. And sometimes if you look at the situation as, okay, this person put me in pain and they meant to put me in pain, it develops more than just that pain. Now it develops anger. And pain and anger are two dangerous emotions. So that's the reason why I say, you know, perspective. And for me, you know, I look at people, when people do things to me that I dislike, I realize, and it helps me to lighten my load, that I look at it in a manner that a lot of times they're doing what they want to do and it has very little or nothing to do with me. And I strive to give them leeway to a certain extent. However, I do make people aware of my likes and dislikes, because just as another person has the right to feel how they feel, I have the right to feel how I feel. I have the right to express what I like and what I dislike. And if a person is going to be in your close circle, you need to make those boundaries clear. And I think too often we don't make the boundaries clear, many of us, and some of us do, but many of us, you know, we don't. And then when something happens that causes us pain or causes us to get angry, we take the majority of it out on the person who did it. But we have to accept some responsibility too, because a lot of times, I'm sure you heard this saying, people treat you the way you let them treat you. So with that being said, I want to take a little pause, and anyone on the line who want to chime in, press one and chime in. Give me your thoughts. You know, you heard what I'm talking about. Give me your thoughts. I want to hear what you have on your mind, what you have to add to the conversation from your lifestyle, not from mine, from what you may be going through or what you might have been through. Press one. No one wants to press one. Okay. What we're going to do then, I'll continue. As I was saying, that many times we have problems with our emotion, how we perceive things. Plenty of times, and far from my view, far too often, our perception is our reality. Whether it's right or wrong, once a person perceives you a certain way or perceives something a certain way, it's very difficult to get them to see it other than the way that they see it. And one of those things is, like, one of the crucial things is love. You know, many of us want love. Many of us say we love someone. But what are we willing to do, and what changes are we willing to make for the sake of love? That's a serious question. Like, you know, I think everyone, or no, let me not say everyone, I think a lot of individuals think that love is this real warm, fuzzy feeling all the time. If that was the case, then why do, as much as many of you love your children, why do your children cause you pain? Why do your children get you angry? If love was supposed to be warm and fuzzy all the time, that alone tells you that love is not warm and fuzzy. My personal opinion, love is the highest form of inner standing, what you feel inside, inner standing. You may say understanding. I prefer to say inner standing. It's the highest form of that, where you look inside yourself and you examine all the things that you struggle with, that you have problems or complications with, and you give other people that same type of leeway. Like, it's hypocritical sometimes for people to be able to, like, judge other people for something that they themselves don't struggle with. For example, let's give an example. Let's say a person that, you know, don't smoke or don't curse. Let's say we keep it light. Don't smoke cigarettes, don't curse. Now, this individual sees somebody smoking and cursing, and they get all in an uproar. Oh, why are you smoking the cigarettes? The cigarette's nasty. Why are you cursing all the time? You know, you should be able to speak without cursing. But grant you, I guarantee you, there's something that person that don't smoke and don't drink struggles with, that the person they're talking to may not know, but they struggle with. So this is when we need to have empathy for each other. We need to be able to, the old saying, you know, be able to walk in somebody else's shoes, to be able to look at another person and say, look, I see you struggling with this. You know, if I can do anything to help you to lighten that struggle, then let me know. Because if we start doing these type of things towards each other, we can fix the enormous rifts that we have between us. A lot of problems that we have seem so overwhelming. It seems like we're at the bottom, at a bottomless pit, and sometimes I know it feels like you're still falling. And we all go through it. We all go through emotional roller coaster. Thing is, we are not able to control our emotions to a point where we can say, oh, I'm not going to feel this. I'm not going to feel that. You know, but what we can control It's how we react to those emotions. We have some control over that. If we take the time to process what we're really feeling, whether it's sadness, whether it's joy, whether it's anger, whether it's resentment, whatever feeling we are feeling at the time, we need to take time to process that feeling properly. A lot of times before we say anything. Sometimes I think we, you know, many of us get, you know, make a bad situation worse or a good situation bad by expressing how we feel when we're not even sure how we feel ourselves. So I think we need to work on that particular part of us as earthly beings. We need to work on that. We need to strive to be better with processing and working through and expressing our emotions towards each other. Because what keeps you connected to someone? What causes you to separate from someone? The main thing is emotions, emotional ties, emotional connection. What makes a person don't want to be cheated on? Emotions. What makes a person cheat? Emotions. So emotions are a key component to who we are, as I said, as earthly beings. And none of us can get around dealing with our emotions. We all have to deal with our emotions. So why not strive to learn or to at least work on dealing with our emotions in a healthy way so that we don't harm ourselves, harm others, or destroy relationships that had the potential to be something that could be useful in our lives. These people could be useful in our lives because none of us are meant to be alone. Otherwise, it would have just been one man or one woman. So we're not meant to be alone. We are meant to have a significant person in our lives. We are meant for that. We are social creatures. Even those who are introverts still are sociable. Still, they speak to someone. They need someone around at some point in time. Maybe not as much as some people who are, you know, outgoing people that can be around people all the time, but they still need someone to be there for them. Let's face it. We all want to be happy. We all want stability. We all want a roof over our head, food in our stomach, and to be able to, you know, have a good time every now and then. These are things that we all have in common, no matter what race, creed, or color. We all have these things in common. Let's strive to start focusing on the things we have in common and stop pointing out everything that's different. And if we can work on these aspects in life, I personally believe that we can grow in a manner that many of us will be amazed. We'll be amazed at what we can do just by starting to self-evaluate and also be able to set boundaries with individuals. But stop being so judgmental we many of us have a tendency to, as I was saying, judge people, things that we don't do, you know, or things that we don't struggle with, or things that's easy for us to walk away from. Everyone's different when it comes to how they internalize and how they react to certain situations. As I said, if we spend more time striving to uplift each other than push each other away or pull each other down, then we can actually see the growth. We can actually see what life is truly meant to be in a manner that it's meant to be. Now, we're getting close to the end. We've got about another 5 minutes. So if anybody would like to chime in, as I said, press 1. I'm listening. Anybody want to chime in? Anybody have a comment? Okay, everybody's quiet. Everybody's quiet as a church mouse. You know, if it was outside, I'd be able to hear crickets. So, as I was saying, we all have what we need to be the best we can be. It's already inside of us. All the things that we need. We just have to be willing to dig deep inside and allow those things to come out. Allow them things to come out. All right. Looks like we have a call. I don't know. Nobody's pressing 1 still? Okay. As I was saying. Hello? Hello? As I said, everything we need to be better is inside of us. And everything that we need to change our conditions, we have within each of us. We just have to be willing to do what it takes to make it happen. Are we ready? Or do we have to get ready? Either or. You know, those of us who are ready, you know, let's keep it pushing. Those of us who have to get ready, yeah, let's keep pushing towards that. Now's the time. Now's the time for whatever changes we want to make, whatever changes we want to see. We have the ability to make those changes happen. With that being said, going to call it a night, and as usual, I'd like to thank my brother Jay Sean for handling the production side. I'd like to thank everybody that's on this line. Again, you could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here with us. And for that, we're eternally grateful. I would also like to ask you to tune in every Monday to Dollar Dash from 8:30 to 9:15. Tune in every Thursday to the Lisa Experience from 8 to 9. Tune in every Friday to Keeping It Real from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in every Sunday to Point of Impact from 7 to 8 p.m. Also, tune in to Grown Folks Talking by dialing 520-525-8633. That's 520-525-8633. For those of you who would like to check out some additional content by me, go to my YouTube channel, Peep Game TV. And if you'd like to subscribe, it's at Peep Game 556. That's at Peep Game 556. And the capital P, the P in Peep is capital, and the P in Game is capital. I pray to you, the creator of all existence, that you touch every heart and renew every mind who hears the vibration of my voice, so that our hearts, minds, and souls come together and function as though we were one body. I pray that you bless each and every one of us with the spirit of unity, forgiveness, and the ability to put aside our differences so that we can work together towards the much-needed change within ourselves and within our communities for the sake of present and future generations. I pray with all my heart that our Creator has planted something incredible within each and every one of us that we will carry with us and share with others from this day forward. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. Anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me. I ask your forgiveness. In closing, don't forget to reach out to someone whom you love or care about just to see how they're doing or if they're okay. With that being said, may you all be inspired and motivated to begin your journey towards a higher level of thinking and self-evaluation. Until our next encounter, have a great night. I love you all like I love myself. And I want to dedicate this last song to my wife again. It's 3 days after the anniversary, so I want to dedicate this to her. And happy anniversary.
And we're still together here with a love so very strong.
So while we're celebrating like this, we'll be the toast to the years to come. Cause if anyone deserves to stay together, out of bed, we should be one. Happy anniversary.
And in you, I can see to be the one to hold you
way.
So while we are celebrating life, I'll bring the cross to you, my dear. Cause I made my resolution. This is my own constitution. To love you more and more each day. Happy
Happy anniversary.